Hi, this is Farah. Welcome to Military Law and Life Matters, the podcast that arms you with knowledge so you don't become a victim of injustice. So happy to be back again today. And today I'm going to focus this podcast on cases decided by the Naval Discharge Review Board, which, as you probably know, handle Marine Corps cases as well. So I went through the website and looked at a bunch of cases from that were decided in 2022. One thing that's important to note, these cases were decided in 2022 and after a specific date, which is important. There was a settlement of a lawsuit against the Navy in February 22, there was a settlement, and it was a class actions lawsuit similar to the ones I've discussed before with the Army and the Air Force, which there's a settlement like pending, it's not final, but it was a class action lawsuit stemming from a case of a former corporal, Tyson Manker. So it was Manker versus Del Toro, who is the Secretary of the Navy. And he was a Marine Corps member who got an OTH other than honorable discharge. I'll refer to it as OTH during this podcast because I'll be using that term a lot for these veterans who got discharged. So he got an OTH discharge and it was for marijuana use. And he said that he used the drug as a coping mechanism after being exposed to traumatic events while he was deployed to Iraq in 2003. Right? That was like a significant time in 2003. So he applied for a discharge after he was discharge upgrade in 2016. He was denied. And then 2 years later, he was part of and like the main person in a class action nationwide lawsuit against the Navy. They eventually upgraded Manker's, former Corporal Manker's discharge, but the lawsuit was settled on February 15th, 2022. And it's the same thing. The settlement saying we're going to reconsider certain cases, you know, automatic, some of them you have to apply, et cetera. But that was the basis of the settlement. I'm pretty sure I talked about that in another lawsuit, but it's similar to all the other lawsuits, as I said, the Army and the Air Force. So a lot of cases, the Naval Board publishes a lot of their cases on. So there was a lot. I went through all of them. Honestly, I'm not going to discuss all of them, but I just wanted to get an overview. There was a ton of cases for the Navy and the Marine, a separate slew of them. So I went through each one, looked at it. You know, I got to the point when I read like a paragraph or so I can kind of like determine what the vote, I was trying to guess like what's the vote going to be. And, you know, it seemed pretty consistent in the way they decide these cases. The write-ups were very, very detailed. I love they have a little matrix, a chart, which I'll talk about when I talk about the cases. If there's PTSD or any mental health condition, there's a matrix that's filled out. That's really helpful because if the basis for the discharge is a mental health condition, the medical person on the board fills out this matrix. Again, I'm going to discuss that. What's very sad is, other than the fact there's a lot of cases, which means a lot of people, veterans discharge, what's very sad is a lot of drug abuse, just so much drug abuse. And a lot, you know, much of the ones I saw were related to deployments, et cetera, but that's really sad. In another podcast, I just said something like, oh, you know, don't even talk about like, oh, I want the upgrade because I need medical benefits or I need to go to the VA. I said, don't even discuss that's irrelevant. I mean, I maybe it was a little bit too flippant. I don't mean it's irrelevant. And the boards, by the way, everyone knows like on the boards that look at these cases, if you don't get at least a general discharge, you're not going to be able to get any disability benefits from any disability you have, whether that's mental health or physical. So everyone knows that. And you could mention it. But what I really meant to say, and I probably did not say it artfully, is I meant to say that it shouldn't be the basis of your application. You shouldn't say, upgrade my discharge because I need medical benefits. Okay, that's my point. Because again, as I've said in other podcasts, you have to show them why something is unjust or improper, right? Why was this illegal, unjust, unfair, had legal error. And you have to, and then included in that are these DOD memos, right? The DOD memos, the guidance that's listed on there regarding, you know, the Wilkie memo, that helps you, right? That could be your argument that something's unjust, right? Because, well, it's unjust because, hey, there's I was deployed and I got PTSD, and that should mitigate this misconduct. So that could be part of your argument. So I just want to clarify that. I don't mean to say like, don't mention it. Like you could certainly mention it, but make sure you have an argument of why you need those VA benefits. Like what happened? How was it caused by the service, et cetera? So I just wanted to clarify that point. Okay, let me get to a handful, I don't know, six, seven Navy cases that I want to go. And they have a, like an easy way. I look through them and I just kind of highlighted portions to point out to you. And, you know, just to give you an idea. But so I'm going to start with the first case. So the first case, this veteran was 18 years old when they enlisted. They got discharged for with an OTH discharge, and the reason was misconduct. Okay. What's very relevant to me is the first thing I look at is how long were they in? They were in 3.5 years, 3 years and 6 months. That's significant, you know, almost finished their deployment. And what's very significant to me when I look at a case, were they deployed? Yeah, this guy was deployed to Iraq. Oh, no, Afghanistan, Operation Enduring Freedom. So he was deployed. He also got a Bronze Star. It shows what awards they got. So he, you know, did some important things there. What was he discharged for? We got non-judicial punishment for wrongful use of marijuana. That was one. And then he also, he did a couple of others, retention warning counselings. So they were like, okay, we're discharging you. Again, he's in now 3.5 years, deployed to Iraq. And then he got an OTH. Okay, so let me tell you more about this case. The other things we should know is he said the reason, so he had a basis. He said the reason I used the marijuana was because I had PTSD. So he said this should be mitigated. Okay, good. So he contends something. He's kind of relying on the Wilkie, Curt, all those memos that DOD came out with, right? And then he was actually had a telephonic hearing. So his personal appearance was on the phone. He was talking to the board members again, subjecting himself to questions, answers, etc. So again, I told you what he had, what he was arguing, etc. So he has an argument, again, saying that his PTSD was mitigating in his misconduct, marijuana use, and some other things. So this is pretty cool. And this is, I think, the result of the board, the lawsuit settlement. It requires, like, first of all, you have to have a special, like a psychologist or a psychiatrist when there's any allegations of, you know, someone saying they suffer from a mental health condition. So you have to have an expert, right? The other board members aren't going to be an expert on how this stuff works. So you have to have a member. And then they require this medical board member to do like a matrix and answer all those four questions, right? So in this one, I'll go in detail, and then the others I'm not going to. But what do the board member, the medical board member, have to answer? Number one, does the record reasonably support what he's contending? PTSD, right? And it existed at the time of the member's military service, and they said, yeah, he had PTSD. In fact, this poor guy had TBI too. Oh, and on top of it, he has anxiety disorder and depression. So he's got all of the things. So he has that. It's documented. The question number two, was this present at the time of misconduct? Yes, he had this during, you know, this condition when he used the marijuana. Was this mitigating? You know, this medical provider, sometimes they really don't make a determination, but said it was mitigating. Like this person, this I'll just say doctor, said it was mitigating or thought it was mitigating. Then it says, were all the required mental health and medical about conducted in accordance with regulations prior to the separation of the applicant? Yes. And then there's another block, the fourth block. I really like it because this is where the medical person is talking about the case. And he or she, you know, the doctor says, I reviewed the applicant's military and VA treatment records. In addition to personal appearance testimony, right? He talked about his mental health issues. And the applicant contends they had combat really PTSD and TBI that mitigates his misconduct. And the doctor wrote the treatment record shows multiple visits for significant PTSD and TBI related to the applicant's deployment to Afghanistan. And this is like a really strongest one I saw. The doctor wrote, I find a strong nexus between the mental neurological health and his self-treatment with marijuana. So this is a strong, like there's no way he's not going to have his discharge upgraded. The key is what's it going to So he got an OTH and it was misconduct. So the key, and how many he was, 3.5 years he served. So that's, it's really important how, like, not only were they deployed, but they served a lot. It wasn't like they served a year. They served their country like almost 4 years. All right. So, he got the two NJPs, other than, but they contended, yep, he had PTSD. And in the write-up, it says the NDR found a nexus between the applicant's combat experience and drug use. Basically, they said, yeah, he had TBI, PTSD. Oh, and by the way, the PTSD part of it, well, he got TBI because guess what? He was exposed to an IED blast. So this poor guy is going to have to suffer with that probably, you know, the rest of their life. So, it says what I always say, look at what they put in their write-up, served nearly his entire 4-year contract with this one incident. It's important. Like, that's part of maybe, okay, should we give him a fully honorable or a general? So they put that in there. And I was on these boards. I would think the same thing. Like, okay, let me look at the misconduct. What did he do? Was he deployed? What kind of mental health condition did he have? You know, it's not like a black and white thing, but all of those little factors add up to, okay, are we going to change the narrative reason? Are we going to give him a fully honorable? Are we just going to give him a general under honorable? Okay. So the suspense here is, I had guessed he would get an honorable. They did. They changed his OTH to a fully honorable discharge. Because this is what the board wrote up. They said the applicant's mental health excuse mitigated the maliciousness, willful nature of the misconduct. Because his mental health condition excused or mitigated the willful nature. Willful means like he knowingly obviously used the marijuana. They believe that the underlying narrative reason even need to be changed. So not only did they change the where it says misconduct and it probably said drug abuse, they changed that to secretarial authority, and they also changed it to an honorable, fully honorable. I'm not surprised. I would have voted the same way. I mean, almost 4 years, he's got not only documented PTSD, TBI, and this is like lifelong, and you know, he was deployed to Afghanistan with the Bronze Star. So that was very just. Again, I really do think the boards are looking at these cases a lot more carefully too. Especially after the lawsuit, you know, under the lawsuit, there's negotiation, they talk, and doctors, I'm sure. And yeah, they're looking at it very carefully. So I think it was a fair result, honestly. You might, you know, I do based on all the facts. So that was good. Okay, now I'm going to look at the second case. This one I'm going to go through quicker because I'm not going to go over the matrix as more detailed. So formal private first class. He was 19 when he enlisted. He served two years, basically. He was deployed to Afghanistan as a rifleman, right? He got an OTH for misconduct. He used not only marijuana, but cocaine as well. Again, he served 2 years. And then he also, he was also AWOL. He also wasn't doing the proper thing during, I think like guard duty, but AWOL, missing movement. So he had a lot more in his discharge. So he requests an upgrade he just requested upgrade, but he didn't specify. So when they don't specify, the board upgrades to what they believe is reasonable. They're not going to hold it against the person because they didn't say what to upgrade it to. But he said he suffered service-connected mental abuse while in the garrison. So even when he wasn't deployed, he was mentally abused by someone. And then he had PTSD from his combat deployment. So he said that excused his misconduct. So what happened? He had one NJP. That was for being AWOL, missing movement, as I said that already. And then also an illegal drug use. And I think this was, I told you it was actually it was cocaine and marijuana. So, but his reason was like, hey, my mental health condition affected my misconduct. So what happened to this guy? The doctor on the board said, yeah. Well, the doctor said that he had anxiety and bipolar disorder. Okay. They don't mention PTSD. And they're like, the doctor's not quite sure if these conditions were present at the time of misconduct. They're not, were these conditions mitigating? Okay, so the notes they say is that they looked at the VA. So this, after the person was discharged, he went to the VA, and the VA basically said he has anxiety disorder and that, there's no actually, in this case, the applicant said basically that, you know, he at some point after his deployment was hypervigilant and had nightmares, but that seemed to have been resolved. They didn't quite find any PTSD or TBI with this person, with this veteran, but they did, he did submit something, which I always tell, you know, clients or people that call me, you should, if you don't have anything from the VA or from in service, you should go to a civilian doctor. And really, these are important because they really want to see, because it's not like the doctor on the board is going to be examining you during your application. So it's good to have from a psychologist or board certified psychiatrist, something saying what your mental health condition, if that's what you're using as your basis for discharge. This is critical. I'm glad this came up. It's very important. If you do not submit something like that, you're going to have a really tough time getting your discharge upgraded. If you don't have something from the VA, you should first go to the VA, because even with an OTH, you can get, you know, an exam, and they could, you know, they could say, yeah, you do have PTSD, but we can't compensate you because you have an OTH. So highly, and if not, just go to a civilian doctor. Okay. Yeah, so the neurologist said that overall, actually the neurologist, nothing in this document substantiated the presence or effects of these during the applicant's service. So the neurologist actually did not find evidence that there was stuff, like they couldn't determine whether he had these conditions in service. So I don't know, but the doctor on this board said he did have anxiety disorder and bipolar disorder. Okay, this case is getting a little bit confusing as I'm going through this. But all right, so we know he was deployed. We know to Afghanistan as a rifleman. We know he got a Bronze Star. We know he self-medicated with cocaine and marijuana. Okay, they don't, though, the board said they didn't find evidence of PTSD or TBI, but they did find evidence that he had anxiety disorder and bipolar disorder. So guess what? That's a mental health condition. So that, even if you don't have PTSD, it's any mental health, that will mitigate the misconduct. Okay, so based on that, the board decided to upgrade it, I think based on all those, to a general under honorable conditions, and they did not change the narrative reason from misconduct. They did not change that. But what they wrote is, you know, they kind of talked about the characterizations of discharge. And they, in this case, what they did, it's a little bit unusual, but, you know, they're very caring board members. They thought, oh, you know, because it was not, you know, marijuana is one thing, but cocaine, that's really bad, like in the military. So I think to justify upgrading it to a general under honorable conditions, they gave him clemency. Remember, I've talked about a clemency. You can just give clemency like, oh, wow, we're going to give you like mercy. We're going to give you mercy because we think you've been through a lot. Or, you know, I'm just kind of making that up. I don't know what they were discussing behind closed doors. But they said clemency is an act of leniency that reduces the severity of punishment imposed. Additionally, clemency is a general term for the administrative review action other than the correction for legal error or suspension, etc. So they said clemency also includes substitution for good cause and administrative for executed punitive discharge or dismissal in select cases. Consequently, the board found a change in characterization of service to general under honorable conditions appropriate. So they didn't, basically the board said, we didn't do it because it was, there was legal error. We didn't do it because there was inequity, like it was unjust, even if he did have this condition, which, you know, bipolar and the adjustment disorder, but they basically gave this guy clemency. So what does that tell you? So he got a general under honorable conditions. They didn't change the misconduct verbiage. There's not a reason. But as I said, this guy, you know, he was in 2 years. And with all that, the boards are very sympathetic, I believe, to people who were deployed. I mean, he was deployed to Afghanistan as a rifleman. He got a Bronze Star. He must have, I don't have all the details of what he did. Very sympathetic. So they gave him a general. I knew they weren't going to give him an honorable. And the general they gave him basically like clemency, because they couldn't quite get to the point of, oh, well, you know, your misconduct, your negative didn't outweigh your positive. I think, you know, with the cocaine, if it was just marijuana, that's a different story. But with the cocaine, they I don't think they can get to that. But they said, we're just going to give you mercy because you were deployed like a year or so serving your country in Afghanistan. And you got a Bronze Star. So, all right, I went over that in detail, but it was getting a little complicated with their write-up. Okay, now another case we're at is this person joined when they're enlisted when they're 18, became a Lance Corporal, got an OTH for misconduct, and they were deployed twice to Iraq, once for 6 months and one for a year. So this guy, and another sad case, very sad, because he was, you know, this guy is inhaling spray paint from a can. So that's what happened to him. Oh, and he served 3.5 years. So that's going to help him. Served 3.5 years, went to Iraq. So half of that time was deployed to Iraq. God knows, you know, what he suffered there. But his contention was that he had PTSD and this should mitigate his misconduct, right? His misconduct was, using marijuana was his and then violating a lawful. Oh, so it was using marijuana and then inhaling the spray paint. So, and he did, oh, by the way, the spray paint huffing, he did that actually in Iraq. So that's what he could get his hands on, I guess. And he wanted it upgraded to an honorable. The huffing, as I said, took place in Iraq. And the board, you know, they did a little matrix. They said he has PTSD, also major depressive disorder. They believe this existed while he was in the military. They believe it's mitigating. And basically based on that, you know, based on his deployments twice, his near encounters with combat, including indirect fire and convoy ops, the applicant may contend anxiety over his deployed situation. So basically, what did they do? They upgraded to a general. They didn't quite get to an honorable, but they upgraded to a general because guess what? They know that without that, he's not going to be able to get VA benefits, is what I'm thinking. And you know, again, they're sympathetic because he was deployed twice and then he self-medicated. And again, they're following the rules of the Wilkie Curta memo. And based on that lawsuit, they're being very deliberate and looking at it very carefully. So that's my belief. And I would feel the same way. So, all right. What's the next? I'll do a couple of maybe two more cases here. So another one is there was an individual who got an OTH. He'd enlisted. This is not as relevant, but the older you are, it's makes your case a little bit harder, but he enlisted when he was 25. Pattern of misconduct, and he was deployed to Afghanistan, Iraq. Okay, that's like the red flags. Okay, he's deployed twice, not only to Afghanistan, but Iraq. What did he do? Well, you know, what's interesting, there's no drug use here, but he was failing to obey orders. He was AWOL. AWOL twice, and then failing to obey lawful order. So he got two non-judicial punishments. So for pattern of misconduct, he was in the Navy for 2 years and 5 months. And in this case, basically they determined that, they don't have a matrix in this, but what they determined was that his service was honest and faithful, but significant aspects outweighed the positive. So they just did a balance of, okay, this guy got an OTH, but guess what? He did a lot of good too. He served his country. I'm ad-libbing. I don't know what they said. You know, that's not written. He went to Iraq and Afghanistan. He served for 2 years and there was no drug use. So they actually upgraded his to general under honorable conditions, but they didn't change the misconduct notation. So again, very, you know, carefully looking at this. And this one did not, let me just make sure. Yeah, this one was not anything based on the applicant didn't say he had a mental health condition. He's just saying my in-service conduct, you know, it more warrants an honorable, like kind of, he probably, you know, talked about how, you know, everything he did when he was deployed, when he was in garrison, et cetera. So that seems, you know, that seems reasonable to me. And there's no drug use here. So, all right. I'll do one more, maybe one more Navy case here. This person enlisted, wow, he enlisted at 17. He needed parental consent. He was in almost 4 years, 3 years and 9 months. And then he went to Iraq almost a year. And then what did he do? Well, I don't see no drug use, but he was like absent without leave, failing to obey lawful order, unprofessional, failing to obey order. So this is what he did. And he got an OTH for this. Yeah, he was, and he was deployed as well. So what did the board do again? So this is after that settlement. They looked at this one carefully. Now he says he had PTSD, and I guess he did. He said I should get an honorable because of my combat experience, et cetera, mitigates this misconduct I committed. He had PTSD from his combat experience. And, you know, the doctor's matrix is very helpful here because they found, yep, he had PTSD. And they found, you know, was present when he committed the misconduct. They found that it definitely mitigates in-service conduct, his deployment to Iraq. Was this, oh, actually, you know what? Did I tell you he was deployed twice to Iraq? Yeah, two times, actually, not even once. You know, his case is going to, you know, he's going to be upgraded. And, that, you know, it says there was copious evidence of ongoing treatment for PTSD chronic. He's got chronic alcohol disorder, severe, major depressive disorder throughout the medical records. And then he used alcohol as his, so he was, okay, there was no drug use in this, but guess what? He was self-medicating with alcohol. Yeah, that was his means of self-medication, the legal method of self-medication. So they found a nexus between his PTSD and misconduct. So another sad case, but wow. Yeah, I'm happy. Yep. They upgraded him to a fully honorable, twice deployed to Iraq, no drug use, just, you know, the alcohol and then obeying, but they found the definitely a nexus and they, yeah, I could have guessed that because, and plus he would look another thing in this case, he served for almost 4 years. Yeah, almost 4 years. And then he had these things after his deployment and documented PTSD, two deployments, and they changed it to a fully honorable and secretarial authority. So in reviewing these cases, now the members have much more than they write here. Like there's details of the statements, these applicants. I'm going by what they, and you could look at the boardroom and read it. I'm going by what they have here. But when I read it, I agree. Like there hasn't been, there was one case I think I was like a little bit wondering why, you know, how they upgraded it. And I wasn't quite sure, but I agree with all of their assessments based on what I read. Okay. So I'm going to go on very quickly. Let me go on to the two Navy cases. I mean, Marine cases. Okay, so now I'm going to go over two cases, and again, decided by the Naval Discharge Review Board, but they involve Marines that were discharged. So first case, and actually these two cases do not involve deployments. The first Marine was discharged with an OTH discharge and for misconduct, drug abuse. And it didn't, I searched through it, it didn't say which drug, but I'm going to assume that it was marijuana in this case. So he wants an honorable discharge. This Marine served 2 years and 5 months, so 2.5 years almost. And the misconduct was non-judicial punishment, basically, one NJP for wrongful use of a, it says controlled substance. It doesn't say what they forgot to put that in there. I kind of wish they put that right up front because it makes a difference, honestly, which drug. But I'm assuming this case, based on what I found, that it's marijuana. All right. So what is he contending? So this applicant is contending that he had a mental health condition, which was a mitigating factor, basically why he self-medicated with marijuana. And he says the totality of his service warrants an upgrade to an honorable, even though it got an OTH. What they found was, in this case, so, you know, there's going to have to be that analysis, right? Whenever someone's contending there's a mental health issue, whether they attach medical records or anything, they do this matrix where the medical board member actually like fills out this chart and answers those questions. So, excuse me, the first question they ask is, does the available record support PTSD or any other mental health condition? And they said no, because there was nothing in the records. Number two, were these conditions present at time of misconduct? They determined no, because they didn't have anything to indicate that. Were the conditions mitigated? And they put not applicable. And then the board member commented that the applicant in his write-up or his application basically contended that he had undiagnosed depression. And the reason he said he had this was he was disenrolled from BUD. So he was in the school where he was actually trying out to be a SEAL. BUDS is basic underwater demolition SEAL. So he was in that, you know, in that school trying to be a SEAL, and he got, you know, he got disenrolled, basically. He got cut for whatever reason. And he's saying that he just got depression, but it's undiagnosed, wasn't in the record. So the medical board member said, but, you know, there's no medical evidence of it in the records. Like, there's no treatment records or anything like that. And nothing, even though in the school or wherever his command there, they had mental health professionals. But, you know, not everyone wants to go to a mental health professional. You know, they don't want to in the military go, and they sometimes feel it's a sign of weakness, although, you know, the higher ups, you know, encourage people to go seek help, but some people don't. So I, you know, why he didn't go, I don't know. But now the board said they'd found insufficient evidence to indicate there was a mental health diagnosis, and there was nothing like to show he had any symptoms, et cetera. And he was disenrolled for BUDS, but it wasn't for a mental health condition. And the other thing the board said was, so they looked at this case, this guy saying, you know, I had this depression because I was disenrolled from BUDS. They're looking at it and they're thinking, okay, one time use of marijuana, he served two and a half years. So they went over this little analysis saying, well, okay, to get a fully honorable, even a fully honorable, you don't need flawless service, right? You don't need flawless. You could have a couple of things, never get discharged and honorable. Then they go over, they say, okay, so they're in analysis in this decision. They're saying he served 2 years and 5 months, right? So they're saying, you know, more than half of a 4-year commitment. And so they go over like, how was his service? Well, he maintained proficiency and conduct marks of 3.4 and 2.8. Over 7 reports, so he was like, I guess, above average. He was awarded 2 Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medals, so that's pretty impressive for that. He was only in 2.5 years, so getting those medals, he must have done some good things. And then he obtained his enlisted surface warfare specialist qualification. And the board said, so outside of this one NJP for marijuana use, there was insufficient evidence of any other significant negative aspects to outweigh the positive. So what they're saying is he had a lot of positive. So his negative, you know, outweighed it to maybe justify a general, but not an OTH, because how they rule out OTH, they say his misconduct does not rise to constitute a significant departure of military conduct. That those are the key words for like OTH, significant departure. You know, in the Air Force too, like people, especially like, I'm thinking like all right, if you use marijuana, it's like a general discharge. Generally, I don't believe that's changed. General under honorable conditions, if it's just like one time use of marijuana. So that's consistent with that. So based on all that, they didn't go through any mental health, like they went through, but said it didn't exist. Like there was no, but based on his contention, you know, I'm assuming he could have been depressed after being disenrolled. But they just found that the one time that doesn't, based on all the other good stuff, that equates to a under honorable conditions, general discharge. And they didn't change his misconduct, drug abuse, though. They kept that as is, but they gave him an under honorable. So I thought that was reasonable, actually, and how they justified all that. All right. So the second case I'm going to talk about, another Marine, is this Marine served again. This one also like 2 years and almost 2.5 years, 2 years and 5 months. He got an OTH discharge, no deployments discussed. It was also for drug abuse. This one actually says it's THC. Oh, the reason I assumed the other one was THC is based on, you know, they gave him the general. So this one, it says it was THC, well, marijuana basically. And, not only marijuana, but he also had an Article 89 disrespect toward a superior commission officer. So he had two things, but he got one non-judicial punishment for that. In his case, he said that, you know, he wants an honorable. He contends that, I'm sorry, this is a female. So, and you'll see why. She contends she used marijuana to self-medicate for her bipolar and postpartum depression. So she had a child, had postpartum depression, and she also had diagnosed bipolar. She was diagnosed with that. So based on that, her mental health conditions, she's saying it was, she was self-medicating. So the psychologist on the board, the medical board member said, yep, she was diagnosed in service with bipolar disorder with psychosis, like in the military and also by the VA. This occurred while she was in the military. Yes, they found it was mitigating. And basically they, you know, in reviewing all the records, they said this was a one-time use of marijuana. She also had the disrespect to the commission, superior commission officer, but there was evidence in her record. She was placed on antipsychotics and mood stabilizers, that she had delivered her second child. And then she was seen by psychiatry based on an OBGYN referral. And she had ongoing anxiety and depression. And they noted that even she was being seen after she was discharged by the VA for bipolar, and she was getting treatment for that. They said, we're going to change it to fully honorable based on the fact that she had these mental health conditions that mitigate the misconduct. They said, in other words, the board found that because the applicant's bipolar disorder / mania excused, mitigated the maliciousness, willful nature of the misconduct enough to warrant an upgrade to the characterization of service, then it is also rationally applied to the narrative reason. So they said, we find that for the upgrade to the honorable and also for the narrative reason to change it to secretarial authority. And this is the kicker. This is what, they're basically saying, hey, this is why we changed it to an honorable discharge. We find that the applicant's discharge is not misconduct, but the applicant's inability for continued naval service. So, they were saying she has such serious mental health conditions, you know, the postpartum, the psychosis, the bipolar, the postpartum depression. She, you know, kind of didn't know what she was doing. Basically, and it's not misconduct. It's, she has these serious mental health issues. She couldn't remain in the service. So that's what they held. And based on that, they upgraded to an honorable, fully honorable, and to secretarial authority. So that was a lot of cases. I went on a little bit long, but let me just tell you, there were some Coast Guard cases. There were only 5 of them, but I'm not going to discuss them. You could read them, but there's really not much to read because every case, the person either had a general or under an honorable conditions discharge. And the board have a very short little paragraph saying there was nothing that in the record to show anything was inequitable or improper. So they denied them all. So I'm really not going to waste time going over them. I mean, they have very short little decisions for the DRBs, but I looked at their BCMR cases, by the way, the Coast Guard, they have the most detailed, like a legal memo kind of, it seems like a legal court memo on when they're looking at BCMR cases, and some of those cases are upgrades as well. So, but I'm not going to discuss them, but I think that's enough for today because I'm a little tired going over those. I hope this is helpful. I'm just kind of going over it as I read the cases, but then I went back and, you know, highlighted portions that I thought was important to discuss with you. Anyway, that's it for today. Please share the podcast with the military community you think people can benefit. And yeah, share it. There might be people who want to do their own case. Maybe this is helpful. Maybe they can just go read the cases themselves and do their own case. And as I always say, never, never, ever give up because there is always hope. I look forward to talking to you next time. Take care.